Hi, and welcome to the Cyber Podcast. I'm Christoph Limpler, co-founder of Cyber, and today's guest is Bob Salmons, who is a veteran of the United States Navy. He has 25 years in IT, and he holds an impressive number of certifications, 13 IT and CyberSec certifications, to be exact. He also currently serves as the security team lead for the AME Group, which is an IT services company, where he leads a team that provides managed security services to their clients. He's responsible for the client-facing security operations center for threat hunting, pen testing, incident response, security risk assessments, and compliance, as well as training. So long story short, he really knows his stuff, and we appreciate him joining us on the podcast today. So welcome, Bob, to the Cyber Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this is a really exciting episode for me because we're going to talk about some pretty important things and answer some questions that we get all of the time and that I know are very important to a lot of people, especially people starting in the CyberSec industry. So in this episode, we'll talk about career guidance, including top skills to build if you're a beginner in the industry looking for entry-level jobs, top technologies that are most critical to learn for aspiring CyberSec job candidates, and how to overcome that dreaded lack of experience rejection when applying for jobs. And we'll also talk or throw in some additional things in there. But let's first get started talking a little bit more about you, Bob. How did you get started with a journey in CyberSec? I know you were in the Navy at one point, but how'd you end up from that to cybersecurity?
Well, it did start off in the Navy. I did networking and telecommunications, but it was in a highly classified environment. So that being said, we had lots of rules to follow, and which I later learned was actually compliance. So I started out working in compliance, really, in the security realm, but at the time, not knowing exactly what it was, other than some rules we had to follow. So from there, it just kind of bloomed, and as I got out of the military and went into the civilian sector and continued in networking, it was evident that security was definitely something that needed to be considered whenever making decisions about network design and implementation and so on. So it kind of went from there as well. So I got to see it from both the compliance and administrative side of security early on into the practical implementation of the security as well.
It's funny you mentioned that you were doing it without necessarily realizing what you were doing. Kind of reminds me of when I first got started in IT and I was building these crappy websites, right? I was a teenager. I had no security or no concept of security. And so they're constantly getting compromised. And as a result, I had to learn how to fix them. And I had no idea that that had anything to do with something called cybersecurity. I did it because I needed to, right? So it's interesting, right? How you get started with things like that. And then later, in my case, years later, you realize, wow, that's actually how I got started. Interesting. But like I mentioned, you've been doing this for quite a while. You've been in the industry for at least 25 years, if not more. And so one of the questions I really wanted to ask you is, now that you're 25 years later, if you could give advice to your younger self, but in today's day and age, what would you tell young Bob to help him succeed in CyberSec?
Oh, that's a good one. I would say number one is always maintain your integrity. I mean, because when it comes down to it, especially in cybersecurity, if people don't find you trustworthy, then you're going to have a hard time finding employment and keeping those jobs. You're just going to have a harder time in the industry. Now, I didn't have a hard time with that, but it's something that it's key and it needs to be said and for the folks out there. But also, I mean, to me personally, you've got to always keep learning. Cybersecurity changes so much. As well as, technology changes a lot, but cybersecurity does as well. And just not the technology we use in our day-to-day jobs, but the technology that the bad guys out there have. Mm-hmm. They're always changing their strategies and coming up with new techniques. So we have to try to stay up with the curve. It's hard to stay ahead of it, per se. So we have to stay with it. So that means always learning. And then I'd say probably also a good thing, and this goes with any job, not just cybersecurity, but you need to, I'd say, become like a master as to whatever you're doing. So let's say you get started in cybersecurity and you're just not, it's not necessarily where you want to be. You start off as in a single position, but you really want to do something else. Well, I'd say in that position, become a master of that position, even though you're not, you know, super thrilled with it per se. Taking that extra step and really, really doing your absolute best and showing that initiative is going to help you to move on to where you want to be. So I'd say, you know, those are all key elements that I say to my, the younger Bob who's getting started. Those are things to keep in mind. And if you stick with them, they're going to take you a long way.
Really, really like the integrity answer. And frankly, I did not expect that answer. So I'm glad you mentioned that and started with it. Also, I was going to say with that last part of try to be the best you can for what you're currently doing. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's an entry level job, maybe it's not the most glamorous job. Maybe it's not what you want to do at the end. And that's totally fine. But try to find ways of making that challenging and interesting, even if it's not necessarily your most passionate job. Mm-hmm. I found that if I can find ways of keeping it interesting like that, I will be far more likely to apply myself into that position. And then, like you said, really excel at it. And that shows your manager that you're willing to take on that responsibility. You're going to do a great job and they'll start trusting you with more and more responsibilities. And then that's when you can move sideways or upwards. But that's going right. Back to the integrity part, like I said, I really didn't expect that, but it immediately popped into my head that saying of, it takes years and years, decades, in fact, to build a reputation, but it literally takes seconds to rip it apart. So absolutely. Really good and important thing to maintain, especially in something like cybersecurity, but really in anything in general. As a follow-up to that a little bit, when we think of cybersecurity as an entry-level position, a lot of people have struggles with figuring out where they need to focus because there are so many things you could be doing in this space. One of the questions that we get very often is, what skills or technologies should I focus on learning to have that highest chance of getting a good entry-level job, or really even if it's not necessarily a good entry-level job, just any entry-level job in general? So let's break that down a little bit more into two different categories with the skills and technologies. In your opinion, what skills do you believe are the most critical for entry-level CyberSec candidates to really develop a solid cybersecurity foundation?
Well, I have kind of a unique view on this. I have done quite a bit of interviewing for positions and you know, that has changed the way I think about the answer to this question, because it's not something you're necessarily going to, you know, take a class in per se to learn. Like, you need to learn, you know, DNS and everything about it because that's so important, or cloud. No, it's actually, I would say, critical thinking, which might seem a little different, but because what we do in security, the vast majority of is just simply figure out what's going on. And so think of yourself, no matter what role you play in cybersecurity, think of yourself kind of as an investigator, even if you're doing pen testing. So you're trying to break into a system. Well, that you might think is, well, that's like the bad guy. That's not an investigator. But in reality, you're investigating your target. You're trying to find out everything you can about it so that you can figure out a way to get into it or whatever its weaknesses are. And then when we look at the other side of maybe your security analysts, where we're looking at system logs and looking for something that's just out of the norm, well, that goes back to it. So critical thinking is like super important in every job role that's in cybersecurity.
And one of the things that I think can also really help if you combine that critical thinking with mm-hmm. grit, or the term grit, and I've been reading this book, I think it is titled Grit, that I'm paraphrasing here, but they've tried to study some of the top people in their fields and try to find characteristics of what got them there. And they focus on that term grit, which is, as you're thinking through those problems or as you run across issues and roadblocks, keep going, thinking critically about, how do I solve this? You know, what's going on here? Think of the fundamentals and then don't give up. And when I look back on, like I said, when I got started, a lot of the times what I regret the most is giving up when I was so close to figuring something out. And so now I always think back to that. If I'm at a point of almost giving up, I think back to some of those early failures. And that helps me push through. But I think if you combine those two together, you can really become unstoppable in any field, but especially in this field, which requires a lot of that critical thinking, like you were saying.
Yep, absolutely.
Going a little bit more tactical and diving deeper into it, one of the other questions I get that's relevant to skills for cybersecurity is, how important are scripting skills? I know not everybody likes programming, not everybody likes scripting, but is it a critical skill to develop for this field? Can you get around that?
It's pretty important. Now, when you're just starting out, though, it's depending on your role, it's not necessarily that important. However, mm-hmm. as you grow in the cybersec and you begin to do different roles or fill the different roles, scripting becomes pretty important. However, the good news is you don't have to be an expert. I guarantee someone out there has done what you're wanting to do with a script. So what
right.
the key is, you really need to spend some time to learn a couple of the main scripting that we use a lot, like Python, for instance, and Ruby, and there's others. But you don't have to be like this super scripting guru. What you need to do is you need to master the basics, things like variables and looping and these kinds of things, and understand different data types, that there are different data types. So when you go to work with a script, you're able to read it and interpret what's going on. And from that point, you can make it your own. But by no means do you have to be like a scripting guru. You need to master the basics and have a really good understanding of it so that you can work with different scripting languages and be able to understand what's going on with them.
That's the thing. So many of the basics translate to the other scripting languages, like mm-hmm. you're saying. So even just picking one that looks interesting to you, getting started there, mastering those basics, and then mm-hmm. you can jump around if you need a different tool built in a different language.
Yep.
It's much easier to pick that up because you've got those basics. So that's really, really good thought.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I know you've got some experience with cloud and cloud security as well. It's definitely a growing field. A lot of people are moving in that direction. Do you think that's an important skill to develop as an entry-level person, or is that something that they don't necessarily need to worry about yet, and that's something they develop further?
No, I think you should go for it. If you're starting out and you're wondering what direction to go, I'd say one of the skills you want to start with would be gaining an understanding of the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not to be an expert, but you should understand, you know, what it really is and how we can use it. Because I see data, you know, we're in the organization I work for now, we're constantly doing migrations from on-premise systems to cloud. So everybody's, if they're not already in the cloud, that's where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Not just servers that we're migrating to cloud, but applications and databases and such into the different services that cloud offers. So it'd be a really good idea to get some basics down to understand how it's used, because it's just going to help you as you progress.
And are there, beyond skill set, or as it ties into skill set, I guess I should say, if you're thinking about specific technologies that beginners should learn, especially for those entry level candidates, what would you say are some of those technologies? Are there some that stand out as being more beneficial to know and learn?
The technologies, well, other than cloud, which I would definitely recommend some cloud basics. Yes. If you're interested in, it depends on if you're interested in going into specifically, like, you know, I really want to be a hacker. Oh, you know, I want to be a red team. I want to do that. If you're like dead set on that, then man, you need to know your Linux. Start off and really study Linux and how it works and how you can manipulate files and permissions. And then from there, you're going to have a good understanding and fundamentals of Linux, because pretty much everything we do in the red team, the vast majority of it is all Linux based. So that's going to set you up for success there. But if you are leaning more towards like blue team and defensive and analysts and incident response and such, then you definitely want to, I would recommend taking a look at Security Onion for anybody out there wanting to get started in it. It's an open source SIM platform, and you can, you know, fire it up in your hypervisor, your you know, of choice and get started. They got lots of how-to videos. But what this is going to help you do is understand how the SIM systems, which are systems that ingest logs from firewalls and Windows and Linux and all these things, and they perform analysis on them. So it helps us to find out what's abnormal in the environment. And you're going to deal with SIMs, you know, for if you're on the blue team and on the defensive side of security, you'll be using those, you know, for the definitely foreseeable future. So that's it's a free way for you to kind of get used to a SIM and see what it's like. And we'll give you some good skills that you can take forward and use on other SIMs.
So I was going to ask you this question. I think you answered it, though. I'm going to paraphrase and let's see if you would change it or add anything else to it. But if you were to sit down with somebody who's just getting started and they have, let's say, 3 months to focus heavily on learning new skills or new technologies, it kind of obviously it depends on what they're interested in doing. But if we're going at a higher level with some skills and technologies that could apply in a lot of different areas of CyberSec, it kind of sounds like we're talking about the top three things being maybe the mastering the basics of some scripting languages, no specific language in mind, really learning Linux at a fairly deep level, and then understanding and practicing with log analysis using something like Security Onion. Does that sound right? Would you change anything to that?
No, absolutely. Those would be great for anybody looking to get started, or even somebody who may be just getting started and wants some, you know, to really better themselves. Those are all great points. Those are definitely top three.
And so then if a hiring manager is looking at that resume and you've got those three things, well, obviously, hopefully you have more than that too, you can add in there, but having those three things can perhaps set you apart from some of the other candidates that are applying for the same position.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the key things about your scripting is when you're learning it, think about ways you can create scripts to save you time. Because if there's something that you're doing at work that's repetitive, if you were able to automate that process, let's say, and save 10 minutes a day, your supervisor, your manager, whoever, will be thoroughly impressed.
Especially if you can save them the time. Yeah, I'm sure they will really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So one of the other dreaded deadlocks or roadlocks, I should say, that a lot of candidates struggle with is that lack of experience. It's the chicken and the egg problem. It's a catch-22. So in the absence of previous employment in cybersecurity, maybe they just graduated, maybe they're switching careers from something completely unrelated, what sort of things would you consider as experience when considering candidates? I know we talked about those three tools and technologies, but how do they show experience in those tools and technologies and skills?
Well, one way is to, honestly, when I do an interview, I like to ask people, so do you have a lab at home? Do you, you know, is this something you work on? Do you, and I'm asking because I want to know how curious is this candidate that I'm interviewing? Are they just doing this for a job, or do they like actually they're curious about it? Because if someone's curious and has this willingness and wants to learn, then, you know, they're going to continue in that way, and they're going to be a better person at what they do. So that being said, really, it's that if you're interested in red teaming or pen testing, well, you should take a look at CTFs or capture the flag events that happen online. And there's lots of things like Hack the Box and Vulnhub, where they offer up some virtual machines you can download and pen test against in a lab environment, which you just set up on your computer in like a virtual box or VMware or something. But just doing that and being able to talk about it and your experience that you've had in that is great. That shows that you're wanting to learn more and that you're actually spending your personal time to do that, which shows some dedication and that you're willing to put some skin in the game. So other than that, like I mentioned, Security Onion, you could do the exact same thing in a lab if you're more interested in the analysis side. But either way, doing something like that and having a lab and practicing and being able to share about that experience and what you've learned goes a long way.
Well, and then thinking about the critical thinking and the grit from earlier, when you're setting up those environments or when you're trying to do something like that, you will inevitably run across issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they are annoying issues. And so having to troubleshoot that and fix it really truly gives you that experience that you can then rely on during a job interview to share some of those experiences. So if Bob's asking you, hey, tell me a time where you got really frustrated, almost gave up, and how you figure out the solution, now you have a specific point of reference that you can lean on and say, well, here's what happened. And then you've got that story. So definitely very helpful. And I believe you still participate in CTFs to this day, right? You had one last week, I thought?
We had some CTFs going on, you could say.
Awesome. What was the event again?
This one was, it was more of an internal event that we had. Yeah.
Gotcha. So CTFs are still definitely a big part of what you're working on and a good way to keep your skills sharp.
Right, right. Because, I mean, that's something that we work with on our team internally is basically doing CTFs as well and challenges, and because you've got to stay sharp mm-hmm. with your skills.
And this is similar. It kind of falls into the same category. But one of the tips I try to give a lot of people that are trying to beef up their resume is to just create different projects that you can point to publicly, because you've got that flexibility. You're not necessarily doing it for an employer with an NDA. So you can just try different things and then put them up on GitHub and link mm-hmm. to them and share those in your resume. And it doesn't have to be anything insanely complex or crazy or creative. If you don't feel like you're necessarily a creative person, even basic things, like you said, can show that they're doing this because they're interested in this. They're curious. They have that curiosity behind what they're doing. It's not just emotions. So highly recommend just general projects, CTFs, and things like that.
Yeah. Well, that's something I like to recommend to people is to, especially when they're trying to break into cybersecurity, is to create a portfolio. Mm. I mean, oftentimes people in IT, you know, we don't think about creating a portfolio. We're not artists per se, but you know what? That makes you stand out. And if you can show some projects you've done and the outcomes and lessons learned, you know, that's going to stick in a hiring manager's mind. They're going to remember that because it sets you apart from everybody else.
One more question, Bob. I have to ask this considering the number of certifications that you have. So you have 13 certifications that are valid right now and across IT and cybersecurity fields. How important do you believe certifications are for helping get jobs in cybersecurity at both the entry level, but also if you're already established in the industry?
I personally like certifications because it proves that you had the initiative to go out and learn the material and prove your knowledge or prove what you learned. You didn't just be, and I say that because, you know, I know that you can go sit through a class somewhere and just do the bare minimum and kind of halfway sleep through it and still get a certificate at the end. It doesn't really mean you did much. But with the certifications, generally, there's more to it than that, especially those that have a lab involved in it. So you have to prove your technical knowledge as well as a written test. But I like to see certifications. However, I do keep in mind, I know for those of you out there who have looked at the different certs, some of them are pretty expensive. So that I always take into consideration because not everybody can afford to go out and do a lot of certifications, especially in a shorter amount of time. So that's something you take with a grain of salt, but I do like to see certifications when I take a look at somebody's resume or something. But I also take into consideration other things, such as if they had some information they put in there about projects they worked on and such.
So the combination of those projects, of CTFs, of certifications, of things that prove the curiosity and the desire to learn more are things that you really look for in those resumes.
Yeah, and especially because generally most of the certifications that are just a test, there's no lab involved. Mm-hmm. Well, that proves to me that you can read something and comprehend and retain that information and take a test. But I'm not really sure if you can put that information into practical use. And that's where the projects come in. They show your practical application of what you've learned.
In my opinion, one of the best ways to learn for those certifications is to do just that. It is to create projects whether you're going through a course that tells you to create the projects, or again, think of creative ways of mapping what you're learning, the concepts you're learning, into an actual project. It definitely takes a lot longer to study that way, but what you learn will stick in your head a lot longer. And again, it's things that you can point to both in the interview, but also on your resume and say, look, this is how I studied for this exam, and these are the projects that came out as a result. To me, that holds a lot of weight.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, Bob, thank you so much again for being on the Cyber Podcast. Really enjoyed having you on, and thanks for sharing your wisdom. As we wrap up here, do you have any resources or social media accounts where people could follow up with you if they have any additional questions?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn. You just search for my name, Bob Salmons. That's pretty much where I hang out. I will check Twitter every once in a while, but honestly, I couldn't tell you what my handle is. So I would say try LinkedIn.
And I actually think you're under Robert Salmons on LinkedIn, right? Or is it Bob?
That's a great question.
It might be both. Look for Robert or Bob Salmons. And if you can't find him, please let me know. I'll be glad to link you to the profile. But I was just looking at it, and I'm pretty sure it's under Robert. So if you don't find the Bob version of it, definitely look up Robert Salmons. Thanks again for being on. And by the way, if anybody listening, if you're not familiar with Cyber, we are a cybersecurity community with training resources, and we want to help you get that job, especially if you're entry level. So a lot of what Bob was talking about with projects and getting those initial skills that you can point to on a resume, that's what we're here to help with. So if you're stuck, or if you're not sure where to go, if you're not sure what path to choose, hopefully this episode gave you a little bit more guidance into that and clear thinking towards it. But again, we're here for you. We're here to help with that. So please reach out at cyber.com, and we'll be more than happy to help you land that initial job. So Bob, thanks again. And thank you all for tuning in and listening.
Hey, thanks for having me.
See you next time.